I want to welcome each one of you to our services tonight and appreciate you being here, especially those who are visiting with us. It's always good to have those that come our way, whether from out of town or locally, and we encourage you to come back at any opportunity you may have. I've been given the opportunity to speak and maybe say some of the final words as Dana departs. As I was thinking about this, I never have offered a farewell to a fellow minister, so this is a first for me. So I'm not sure how the sermon's going to go. Dana and Cindy, thank you. But before we go to that point of sentimental, I do have to share with some things about Dana. Most of us know him as the preacher for the past 14 years at Camden Avenue. But there are some more things about Dana that's just, he's just not a preacher. I don't know if many of you know this, but he's famous. He's really famous. In fact, he's so famous, he has his own emoji. At church camp, sometimes strange things happen, and he is really, you thought he was a Ohio State Buckeye fan? He's been hiding it all these years. He's really a Maryland fan. And he likes to photobomb pictures. He also likes to unwrap presents that are wrapped in WVU wrapping paper. For the past 18 months, I've had the privilege and joy of working with Dana. And even before that, as mentioned in the bulletin article, years at camp, I have worked with Dana hand in hand and enjoyed every minute of it. So although it's fun to reminisce and kind of poke fun, it's really also a serious moment too, because there's a lot of memories. And Dana, I'm going to cherish the trips we've had and our visits. We could sit down and discuss and laugh at some of our visits we've made. And I've really enjoyed working with him with the radio spots, church camp, our daily chats. The list goes on. Thank you, Dana, for inviting me to this congregation. Thank you for working with me and with the congregation these past few years and with me for these past months. Let's go to God in prayer. God, you are so good, and we thank you for the people that you allow to come into our lives, and we thank you for people like Dana and Cindy. Father, you know that we have been friends for a long time, and we hope and will continue that friendship long after this day is over. And Father, we pray that as the days and months goes on, that you bless them and watch over Dana and Cindy as they make this transition. And Father, we pray that you be with the congregation as well. Father, we pray that as we look into your word tonight, that you will have words there that can comfort us, help us, and help us to be better Christians in this time of transition. And also help us to have the realization that the work of the church will continue. Your word will continue to be powerful and effective. And Father, we pray that as a congregation, as elders and deacons, as ministers, that we will continue to do your will and be faithful to the day that we die or your son comes back. Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Many of us may have seen from one time or another a relay race where sprinters on each team are carrying a baton. And as they run across that track, they exchange that baton from one runner to the next. And as they pass this baton on, the idea is not just about running, but it's how that exchange of that baton takes place. And many times races, or relay races in this case, are won or lost because of the exchange. Tonight we are watching, in a sense, a passing of the baton of one minister to another. As Dana concludes his ministry, I jump into another role. And it's important that as we transition in this time to realize that there are some things we can learn from this. There's things that we needed to continue to do as we see this time of transition. Again, a good track coach will tell you a relay race is won or lost in the transfer of the baton. A miscalculation, a hesitation at a point, and that point can cost the race. So in a similar way, transitions in ministry are so crucial. So tonight, I want to look at the idea and some biblical principles and teachings about transitions in ministry. When the Apostle Paul was anticipating his own execution, his own passing from this life, we see that he passed the baton of ministry to his young friend Timothy and entrusted him with the next lap in the race. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. This will be our primary text tonight, even though we will be looking at a few others, but we'll keep coming back to this passage. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, notice again what it says. This is Paul giving his instructions, his final instructions to Timothy. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So as this time of transition, Paul anticipates a transition as well. And so what can we learn? And how can we have a good transfer of ministry to the next? Well, the Bible points us out some things. First of all, as you look at this verse, there, number one, those who run the race before us set the pace of those who follow. Whether we're talking about men like Dana or elders or deacons or even a Bible class teachers or others who find themselves in certain leadership positions in among the church, we need to understand first and foremost that they're not perfect. No one's perfect. Romans 3:23 reminds us all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet as we look at these men who have led, as we think about this time of transition, we need to understand that even though these men are not perfect, Dana's not perfect, I'm not perfect, there is a certain demonstration of their life. There is something about them where they have wrestled with the biblical text. They have studied and they have strived to live the faith every day in their life. Again, not perfectly, but they have shown something in their life that they have developed faith. They have spent time with God. Much like Peter and John, who stood before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, and they noticed there was something different about them, is because they had spent time with Jesus. And so it is those who set the race and set a pace for us. And there's at least two ways that those who teach and preach and lead as elders set the pace for us as restless of Christians. Number one, it's by their example. You notice throughout the New Testament that the Apostle Paul would often make reference to his example. And there is countless of verses, and time wouldn't allow us to look at all of those. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, really sums it up. Paul says to the Corinthians, imitate me, even as I also am following Christ. Paul was following Christ, and he encouraged those fellow Christians and his fellow believers to follow him as he strove and he followed Jesus Christ. Paul also encouraged Timothy again in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, where he encourages Timothy to be an example to the believers in word and manner of life, in love and faith and in purity. See, those who lead the church are to be examples of faith in all areas of their lives. They are to be examples, although maybe not perfect, but they have shown to the rest of us that that we can endure, that we can overcome, that the things that we face, we don't have to dive into them and be dismayed, that we can choose to follow God. This is one of the things I admire about elders. Elders have endured life. They have experienced life with raising children. They know what it's like to have children who are teething and who get sick at the middle of the night. They understand the complications and the trials of the teenage years. They understand some of life's difficulties. They've experienced the death of loved ones. They've had challenges in their life, and they can relay that to others. One of the things I admire about Dana is his godly example, not just in ministry, but in every day of his life. One of the advantages I had with working with Dana is not that just that hearing his lessons from the pulpit, but seeing his examples day in and day out. Thank you, Dana. Thank you for your example. But not only do we learn from people's examples, but second, we learn from their teaching. How important is teaching? Well, for Christianity, it is a taught religion. It is essential that we teach. Over in Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, we see that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are having a conversation. And notice what the text says. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch reminds us that there are some people, and maybe even most people in our world, need to be taught. That there is a challenge of understanding the biblical text unless someone who has been in that text, who has been in the scriptures, who have studied, has been able to understand some things and carry that back to those who do not understand. And so one of the things we learn about those who have gone before us and set the pace in the Christian race is that they have been spent some time in scripture and they can share and teach one another. Notice what Paul has to say in regards to this very thing in Romans 10, verses 14 through 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, we need to be taught the word of God. And we need to encourage those who preach the word of God. Because there are people in our world who will not hear. They will not understand unless someone teaches them. Look again at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Paul's very point is passing the baton of faith, of ministry, and leadership. Entrust what I have trusted with you. What Timothy has heard, entrust the faithful men so they can continue to teach others. What we have learned, we need to teach to others. And what we are taught and are converted, we need to continue to be taught and continue to be saved in the faith. Teaching never stops. A preacher's work is never done. A Bible class teacher is never done. There is a constant teaching, a constant encouraging, those who listen to stay in the race. Again, this is what Dana has done for not only the past 14 years, but his lifetime as a minister. We need more men like him. We need to continue to teach and to begin to continue to be taught and encourage those who do so. But number two, as we look at this text in 2 Timothy verse 2, we also realize that those who run before us will change, but God's word will never change. You know, the world is constantly changing. In this world, it's constantly changing. Someone has said the one thing that is constant is change. And throughout the Bible, we see this process of change over and over. When one person would die, we see they'd pass their faith on to the next generation, their works of ministry, over and over through the pages of the Bible. We see that there is this exchange from one generation to the next. As we think about what's taking place tonight, this will not be the first change in pulpits, preachers that the congregation will have. How do I know that? Well, I've lived in this life. I look on the backboard and I see that there has been many preachers before. And I assume as long as this earth endures, there'll be many preachers after this. It's just one aspect of life. Many things change. Ministers change. And we see that life is always changing. And with that said, we need to understand in this moment of transition in time that there is one thing that never changes, and that's God's word. That is God himself. That is Jesus Christ. Notice a few passages with me that remind us of the very thing throughout the Bible. In James 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from a Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Notice what James is telling us, that everything comes from God, and he is one who does not change. There is no variation in him. He does not change. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, Jesus doesn't change. God doesn't change. And if that being true, we see in Matthew 24 and 35 where Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We face a lot of change in this world, but God never changes. His word never changes. And as we go through this time of transition, we must remember that the faces of the ministers may change, but the word of God will never change. May we choose men who fill the pulpit, who teach our Bible classes, who lead as elders, men who are like what Peter calls up on in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But number three, there's something else. As we look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 that comes to mind, those who run before us will change, so we must plan for it. We must plan for it. Paul understood this. As Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, this is his last letter that he writes before he is martyred for his faith. Again, notice what he says in 2 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. He tells and instructs Timothy, keep training, keep teaching, keep passing on the faith. We see this throughout the Bible. It's not just what Paul had in mind. But today we see that even in the church, the baton from one minister to the next must be passed, from one elder to the new elders, from one teacher to a new teacher, from generation to the next. Our faith, the leadership of the church, must be passed from one to the next generation. In business, there is a business writer named Peter Wendell. And he was speaking about business. And notice what he says. You might have great people in both generations, but if you can't pass the baton from one generation to the next, your organization is toast, end quote. This is also true of the local church. In fact, the Bible has been saying this all along. You go back to the pages of the Old Testament, and you see the leadership being passed from Moses to Joshua. You see the leadership being passed from Elijah to Elisha. Jesus to his disciples, and Paul to Timothy, and many others. Leadership will change at some point in time. And so why not plan for it? Moses did. Elijah did. Paul did. See, a true leader will begin with the end in mind. Again, the Bible's been telling us all along. You think about God, the greatest leader of all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But as we fast forward to the New Testament, we see that Peter reminds us that he began with the end in mind, that before the foundations of the earth, he had the idea, the plan to bring Jesus in the world, to bring salvation. And so it is with God's people, understanding that we are not permanent in this life, that we do not last forever. And so Paul trained. He mentored, and he continued to teach Timothy, but just not Timothy, and Titus, and Silas, and so many others as we read about in the New Testament, because he knew his life on earth was short, and so he prepared. And he prepared these young men to take over the responsibilities of ministry and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of reminded of a commercial that was on TV, it may still be, for the past few months, maybe the past year or so. And there's this lady that comes into an office, and she announces to her boss that she is going to be retiring, and she mentions in 15 years. And it's interesting that the boss is shocked, and he starts making all these excuses and comments and wondering what they're going to do. And, of course, it's kind of a comical thing. It's talking about planning for your retirement. But the commercial is making this very point. Plan for your future. And as important as a retirement is and preparing for that moment in one's life, how much more important is the work of the church? How much more important is the leadership of the church? When we see over and over in the scriptures that those who led and were faithful to God understood the next generation needed that leadership. They understood the next generation needed that faith. And so they prepared godly men to take hold of that message and that leadership and to perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many times, as I stated earlier, a relay race is lost in the passing of the baton. We don't want that fail to pass the ministry to the next generation. We also see that in Scripture as well. We see in such places as Judges, and sometimes with the kings of Israel, that baton of faith and of ministry and of godly leadership was not passed on. And what happened to that generation when it was not passed or not passed correctly? Those who were not prepared to take over the leadership, we see great devastation to the people of God. We see false worship, idol worship. We see a rebellion against God. And so it is, as we've come to this point in the life of the congregation, to pass on our faith, to pass on the leadership. And we need to be reminded that the baton that we have received will soon pass from us. Whom will we pass it to? One more time, look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Notice again what it says. The things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Will the future generation find that we ran our segment of the race well? It really depends a lot on how we prepare and run the Christian race that's been set before us. Finally, as we conclude tonight, and as Dana concludes his ministry here, I have one last words to share with Dana, because his ministry and his friendship and example meant so much to me, to this congregation, and many of you. I came across a song that was sung by an old quartet song. I'm not going to sing it, so you don't have anything to worry about. But it's entitled Brother Taylor. Maybe you've heard of it. But I exchanged the words for Brother Taylor for Brother Dana. And listen to these words. Brother Dana, keep on preaching, because you know just what we need. When we turn from what we know is right and what is good indeed. Brother Dana, don't be easy as you're telling us his word. Tell the greatest news that man has ever heard. At the old country church house, he was the preacher man. He preached the word from the Bible, talking about the promised land and the old time religion. And just how it will be, it seemed like he was preaching to me when he spoke about righteousness and having pure minds and controlling our appetite all the time. Didn't know if I could live it, though I knew it was right. Love the Lord with all my might. Brother Dana, keep on preaching, because you know just what we need. When we turn from what we know is right and what is good indeed, Brother Dana, don't be easy. As you're telling us his word, tell the greatest news that man has ever heard. When I came to the crossroads and I was given a choice, I could see Brother Dana. I could still hear his voice. If you want to follow Jesus and want to answer his call, you know you've got to give him your all. So I made a decision that I would do what is right. I'd give to the master all my life. Yes, for old Brother Dana's an inspiration to me. Guides me to eternity. Brother Dana, keep on preaching, because you know just what we need. When we turn from what we know is right and what is good indeed, Brother Dana, don't be easy as you're telling us his word. Tell the greatest news that man has ever heard. Even though he's gone, I've heard the strength to carry on. The word he left with me is, I'm forgiven. I hear him preaching on as he's sharing with us how that we can live together up in heaven. Brother Dana, keep on preaching, because you know just what we need. When we turn from what we know is right and what is good indeed. Brother Dana, don't be easy as you're telling us his word. Tell the greatest news that ever, ever has been heard. I commend Dana and Cindy as they go and start their new work. And one last word from Scripture. I believe Paul's words to Philemon is very fitting for this occasion. And so I leave these words with you tonight. In Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Amen. Tonight, if you're here and you're outside of Christ and you want to respond to the greatest news that has ever been told, has ever been displayed through the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come tonight. Or maybe you have already obeyed the gospel and for some reason you needed the prayers of the church, or maybe you need to repent of sin. We invite you to do so as we stand, as we sing.